Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When the San Francisco Public Library opened its doors last month, 70-year-old Russell Lewis was first in line. He waited for the doors to open for more than an hour. He says he spends much of his free time in a library. San Francisco Chronicle reporter Peter Hartlob asked him how much he missed it. He said that would be like asking, how much do you miss your best friend? The library is like my best friend. He said it's important that libraries are open. There's a whole generation of people who don't know how to use computers, and for some people, the library is their only social life. Library closures hit marginalized communities very hard. Over 80% of the country's public libraries were closed or only offered curbside services during COVID, according to the American Library Association. Most of California's libraries are still offering limited services. All of Oakland's libraries opened on June 15th. We're still waiting for all of San Francisco libraries to open. Of course, the main one did open last month. So today we're talking about what the public library adds to your community. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we are joined by three guests. Michael Lambert has been the city librarian for San Francisco since 2019. During his tenure, the San Francisco Public Library was named the 2018 National Library of the Year by Library Journal. Michael has championed increased and equitable access to libraries through expanded hours and a fine-free library system. Michael is also the first Asian American to lead the San Francisco Public Library. Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Rose. Thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on KALW's 80th year.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us. We're also joined today by Marie Sapella, Executive Director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. Their goal is to strengthen, support, and advocate for the public library system in San Francisco. Hi, Marie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And we are celebrating our 60th anniversary, so I guess it's a big year.
That's a great year. Well, happy birthday, celebrating 60 years. We're also joined by Eve Buckner, a librarian at the Oakland Public Library. Eve actually got in touch with us when we were doing a show about vaccinations, and one of our listeners called in and said that they got an address, but they didn't get more details about the cross streets. And so Eve emailed us saying, please tell your listeners if they have any questions to always call their local public library. So I'm so happy that you're able to join us today, Eve.
As am I. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Rose.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for that email. Well, first off, Michael, let's start off with you. The San Francisco Public Library main branch finally reopened last month after 14 long months of being closed, and it was amazing to read that piece in the Chronicle, to see videos of the line outside. Can you talk about what went into the decision-making process? I'm sure it was so hard to close your doors.
Well, it was. It was really heart-wrenching to shutter the doors of a library system as robust as the San Francisco Public Library, but that is the response we had to take at the time, with a global pandemic. But even though our doors were closed, our library workers never stopped working. And I'm really proud that two-thirds of our staff were mobilized as disaster service workers to assist in the COVID response. And San Francisco has fared better than any other major city in the country. We still have staff that are continuing to serve as we demobilize and still respond to the public health emergency. But we're on our way. As of this week, we have 80% of our library locations open. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be able to fully bring the system back online.
All right. So 80 are open. Can you tell us more about the library workers who worked on things like COVID test tracing? Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. The library workers have really been the backbone of the city's public health emergency response you know, at times, at different points in the pandemic, over half of all the disaster service workers mobilized at a given time were from the San Francisco Public Library. So they have been doing case investigations, contact tracing, staffing food pantries. In the earliest days, our staff, myself included, were mobilized to staff shelter-in-place hotels, sheltering individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Our staff have staffed COVID testing sites, COVID vaccination sites, and taken on a variety of leadership roles throughout the COVID Central Command, including information and guidance, among other things. So I'm really proud of how the staff stepped up and were able to leverage their skill sets and their expertise.
What will the transition period be like?
Well, we're well on our way. You know, in total, we've had 590 of our 900 staff activated as disaster service workers. In April, that number was down to about 149. In May, it was 108. Today, it's 57. And I just heard yesterday that we're going to get 40 of our staff back on July 1. So this is going to be a nice boost for us as we open more branches in July. And we're going to have all of our library locations open again by the time school starts in August.
Okay, so all libraries in San Francisco will be open in August, because we're already getting a lot of emails from listeners asking when all of the libraries will be open. You can find detailed information, because there are so many libraries in San Francisco, at the library's website. You can find that at yourcallradio.org. Marie, you run Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. Can you just talk about how difficult it was for all of these libraries to close and how that really hit marginalized communities the most?
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, we had to, of course, understand that this was a global pandemic in which nobody knew what was going to happen. You know, the appropriate actions were taken by the city to protect the public. But yes, it was very hard. I like to say, in some ways, San Francisco kind of became a tale of two cities, where you know, as the pandemic developed, where, you know, you had some segment of the population that, you know, adjusted fine, and then another segment that really suffered a lot. And you saw even COVID cases mapping to the same neighborhoods and populations of kids that were not doing well or were not well supported, you know, because of economic issues even in their schooling, right? So you had public school students in the same neighborhoods where you had more COVID. So this city, though, has really been responding in so many ways. And when we get into talking about the specifics of the summer program and Summer Together and many of the departments that have come together to respond, it's really quite phenomenal what we were able to do. But I think for us, you know, we had to be patient. We had to understand our job. You know, we see ourselves as always supporting the librarians and what they need. But the library also responded in different ways. And I know that, you know, for those who don't have computers and couldn't participate virtually, it was particularly hard, because the San Francisco Public Library is the number one provider of free internet in the city. It's the largest free network, and that was suddenly in the buildings. But the response with virtual programmings, it didn't take long for the even reduced library staff to pretty brilliantly recreate virtual programs. That's something that Friends is always, most of our financial support goes into programming. So we were able to continue to support the artists and the authors and all of the people who participate in providing programs. The library was able to convert to a virtual summer stride, and then again this year. So it was hard, and we are very happy. You know, the library, I think one thing that we all learned was how virtual a library can be. Michael probably has statistics on just how much e-circulation skyrocketed. You know, in say our One City One Book program, where we may have had the lecture from of the highlighted author would have gotten 300 people in the Corret auditorium, suddenly could get 2,000 people across the country participating. So in a strange way, we did see more participation across the board in all the programming But you are correct. There's a lot of work to be done around lost educational time. The libraries also participated in the community learning hubs initiative, and I think 10 or 12 of the branches were converted to learning centers for high need students in the unified district. So that was another way in which the libraries were used, to the extent that they could be, given, you know, what the public health pandemic was telling us we could safely do. So we were just behind it the whole way. You know, we certainly dealt with, as you're seeing in emails, as Michael did, with many people in the public, why can't it open? Why can't it open? And but the library has been an incredible partner with the city in keeping us safe and in expanding. I think what we're ending up with, in a way, is a bigger library, because everyone realized how outside the buildings the library is, as well as inside. So there's a much more robust understanding and embracing that the library is pretty much with you all day. You can access resources any minute of the day online with librarians, calling them. Even old technology like phones started being used more. And there was a lot more interaction between librarians who bring their life to help you being accessed in other ways. And so when it all opens up, I think we'll even have a bigger library.
That is Marie Sapella, Executive Director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. We're also joined by Eve Buckner, a librarian at the Oakland Public Library, and all of Oakland's libraries are open again. Eve, what have the last 14 months been like for you and your colleagues having to close at the Oakland Public Library?
Well, to reiterate some things that were already said, the library participated in disaster service work during much of the COVID, dilemma that we had here. So I, for one, packed food and for distribution at various places. We distributed. We had food distribution at quite a few libraries. And we still have it. We still have meals available at our Cesar Chavez branch, our 81st Street branch, and I think at our Eastmont branch also. And those are ready, I think, for pickup around 11 o'clock. At any rate, at one time during the, I think it was last summer probably, the food distribution of was very, very, very popular and they had lines, and some of it was produce. That's what I did. I packed produce, but some of it was also full meals that I think the World Center Kitchen or something provided for us. I'm not exactly sure. So in that way, we did play an integral part in, you know, the city's efforts to feed people and at least provide some service, like very, very direct service to people, yeah? And otherwise, we did, a lot of people work from home. There were quite a few online story times, for example, toddler story times and older kids story times. And our children's librarians really, really worked hard to do this work, to get it organized and to reach people. And so that was something we did over the summer. Over the COVID. Now of course, the usual. What we also did was just internal work that had to be done. And for my part, and I think for other librarians and library workers in Oakland, I really, really missed a lot of the patrons. And because that's our job. I'm a public librarian. And I answer the phone and I serve people. And to not have that interaction with our patrons was very hard. And I worried about them too, because as also has been mentioned before, there's so many people that come to the library just because it's a social thing, or, as was also mentioned, to use a computer because they don't have online access. The digital divide is very healthy in Oakland and other cities too. First of all, not only people that are poor, but also elderly people They don't do stuff online. Right. So it's, and you know, you wonder what happened to these people. So some have been coming back. Now that we've only been open full service now for an hour, 6-7 days a week, if you count the main library, for maybe the 81st Street branch too, not sure. For like, it's been now what? Like a week and a half or something like that. What's today? Wednesday. So we started Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before. And, you know, it's slow because word of mouth is still, you know, people don't know that we're open, but it has, but we also had outdoor service during the summer too. I mean, last started September 15th, I believe, something like that, I think. That was, you know, last year. So that was very, very popular with people, and that people could pick up books that they had reserved online, and we would deliver them to them outside. So all of those things combined is my experience and other librarians' experience thus far. And we'll see what happens. I think people are going to come back. I know they're going to come back. Now we're offering computer service too. And so that draws in a lot of people that are unable to have that kind of access where they live.
You mentioned the free meal pickup service, and I just wanted to give people information about this. At the 81st Avenue branch, 1021 81st Avenue in Oakland, they're hosting a free meal pickup on a first-come, first-served basis. Meals are donated by the World Central Kitchen and prepared by local restaurants. There are no eligibility requirements for residents. All ages are welcome. It's Wednesday today from 11 to noon, Friday 11 to noon, and then again next Wednesday 11 to noon. And again, that's 1021 81st Avenue in Oakland. If you or anyone you know would like a free meal, you can pick that up, and we'll put a link at yourcallradio.org. I think, Eve, this just speaks to the importance of libraries in our communities. Like you say, people who need meals, people who need computers. We just got an email from a listener who says, thank you for this special program. I'm very satisfied with the superb services rendered by all personnel, even during lockout. This is an essential life-saving service. In the start of the year, I terribly missed the tax return forms that I normally obtain from the library. I suffered much for this special service. I mean, things like tax forms. There's so many things that people rely on libraries for.
Yes, there are. And it's not only tax forms, it's actual tax help. So the Oakland Public Library has been providing tax preparation help, and that's in partnership with the AARP. These are usually retired, actually, accountants, you know, CPAs and so on. So that has been, oh boy, super popular. You got to sign, you know, people come in droves, and there's appointments, and it has... Now, and we've been doing it for, well, quite maybe a decade or more. Couldn't do it, of course, this time. And I know I feel just the same as your gentleman that wrote in, that was a vital service for Oakland. Now there are, and we also provide lawyers in the library, too. That was a very, very, very popular program, obviously. And we have that now virtually, but only at the main library, and you have to sign up in advance. And I think it's only once a month, as far as I know right now. But hopefully we will have that service again. Lawyers in the library and the tax service, too, is just vital for our community, because we're part of this community and we're really on the ground level of it, too.
Yeah, it's so important. And Michael, just looking at all of the incredible events at the San Francisco Public Library, I was really struck by this because I spent a lot more time checking out what was happening online during COVID. And there are days when you have like 5 events happening. And speaking of services, you've got college consultation office hours for teens, which is so important, especially if they're not getting that at school. You've got SAT test preps, ESL conversations. I mean, so many crucial services that people might not know about.
Yes, I think that just speaks to the passion and the talent that we have within our workforce. We have incredible library staff. The depth and breadth of the offerings is just staggering. You know, we're really focused on helping San Francisco recover. We have an initiative called Work It, where we have our personal finance librarian, our small business librarian, our jobs and career librarian, really focused on helping the community recover, whether it's, you know, small businesses or people needing workforce development training. We also have financial coaching. We have a smart money coaching program that pairs individuals with certified financial professionals that can help guide them to get out of debt or plan for the future. And in helping our young people recover, I'm very proud that we have a literacy program called the FOG Readers Program, where we pair struggling readers with trained literacy tutors that can help get them reading at grade level. You know, we have wonderful arts and cultural programs. We've still been able to sustain our signature programs, like our One City, One Book program. We had best-selling author Chanel Miller earlier this year. Marie referenced that. We also had our third annual Night of Ideas program in partnership with the French consulate, SF MoMA. We drew 5,000 plus people for that program. And, you know, Mayor Breed appointed a new San Francisco Poet Laureate. So we've had lots of really enriching programs with Tongo Eisen Martin. And we have a full slate for the summer. We just had best-selling author Haben Girma. She's the author of Girma, the Deafblind Woman Who Conquered Harvard Law. So as you mentioned, we have something for everyone, something going on every day, and I'm just really excited about the reopening.
You even have presentations on tax benefits, and as you say, lots and lots of story time for children of all ages as well as adults. On Wednesday, July 7th, there's a presentation called Introduction to Senior Community Service Employment Program. I mean, this is all so, so important, Marie. I kind of feel like we're at a point where we don't expect free things in this country. Yeah. Like, we feel like we have to pay for everything in this hyper, you know, connected tech world that we live in. And that's just not the case. You just have to, have shows like this to bring you all on to really talk about these offerings.
Yes, you're exactly right. And thank you so much for saying that, because, you know, I spend my days just, you know, you can go down the laundry list of everything that is offered that is free. And you're so right. Somehow free is, we've forgotten that it has a value. But, you know, we always say, well, the library isn't actually free. It's a very well-funded system that this community members, at least in San Francisco, have made sure is adequately funded publicly. But you're right. I'm often, one of the most common questions I get is, the library does that? And yeah, the library does pretty much anything. And so I always try to say, if you have a problem, start at the library. You will be shocked at what is there. And it is something that I think as a society, we have forgotten that shared public resources are important and vital, and we should be using them. And then we waste a lot of money by not using them. In fact, most people don't know that if you go to the SFPL website, you can use BrainFuse. Now, how many parents don't know that they can get BrainFuse, which you need to pay for if you get an account? You can use your library card and use it free. So if your child is stuck on a math problem, all they need to do is go to the website, get on BrainFuse free with their library card, and have a tutoring session right then. Now, people just don't know. So our job is to, like, get this out into the world. We just at Friends did a small, it was a significant community assessment with a firm called FM3. We just surveyed our community recently about, like, how they're feeling coming out of post-COVID and what they think libraries offer. And one of the things we found, again, is in certain communities, overall, there isn't enough knowledge of what the library brings. But one significant finding is in some the Spanish-speaking communities or in the south end of the city, we're finding there's less knowledge of what the library brings, which is exactly where we need to have more information. And that's one of the things Friends is talking to Michael about, is how can we support more, you know, they do tons of marketing in different languages, but how can we do more specifically to let people know, don't waste your money or think you can't get something. go to the library first, because I'll bet you there's something there free that you can use, and it's exceptionally high quality. And we're often helping the library pay for things like Brain Fuse so that it can be free, right? Our whole job is to make it free and valuable. The other thing that Adib mentioned that we found out in our survey is certainly loneliness was an issue before COVID, and now it is a bigger issue. So this idea of a shared communal space of gathering is so important. And as the libraries begin to open in person, we're just so looking forward. And I know the community is thirsty for this being together through some of these drop-in and then structured programs and that can be offered through the branches, a lot of which are about, you know, belonging and community and identity and representation. And there's so much of that that goes on in the library that one can find themselves in the library by being in it. So I'm not sure I answered your question appropriately, but
no, you definitely did.
It's all there.
And I wasn't familiar with Brain Fuse, but I just looked it up online, and it's online tutoring and so much more. And so you can get this free with a library card. The other thing I'd like to give a shout out to is Canopy, which I discovered under COVID. It's Canopy, an amazing streaming service of documentaries and incredible films. And again, it's free with a library card. So we will also link to that. Today, we are celebrating our public libraries and letting you know about the incredible offerings on a regular basis. Marie Sapella is executive director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. Michael Lambert has been the city librarian for the city and county of San Francisco since 2019. And Eve Buckner is a librarian at the Oakland Public Library. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are celebrating the opening of public libraries. We're joined by Michael Lambert. Michael's been the city librarian for San Francisco since 2019. Marie Sapella is executive director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. And Eve Buckner is a librarian at the Oakland Public Library. And if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at Your Call Radio. Eve, can we spend a little more time talking about services that are offered to, for example, homeless people, low-income people, people with disabilities? I feel like our society is really leaving a lot of people behind. Now that we're opening, I was going to a couple of restaurants, and I noticed that even to order, you have to have a cell phone. That's where they're putting their menus now, is on your cell phone. And, you know, I just think about people who don't have that technology. And so the library really offers such a crucial service to so many people.
And this, it's great to have stuff online. And certainly we have a robust summer program at the Oakland Public Library, where you're able to get look at all kinds of online performances and join our summer reading program. Also, you just go to oaklandlibrary.org, and that information will be there for you. But I'm very concerned with the fact that so much of our society, I guess I can put it that way, is you're required to have, you know, not only a device, but you've got to be, you know, have enough money to pay for Wi-Fi. And it's just, sometimes people gather around the library because we do have it, and they use their laptops there. And especially during COVID, when we were shut down, people, we were still inside for a lot of that. So that was that happened. But I want to say that the discussion about who has access and who doesn't have access is one that I think we kind of discussed with each other, but I'd like to bring it to a place where we can really, again, revisit what a library is for people, because we are free, and we do, and everything we have, everything we offer online and offline, which is phone calls from people that need information from almost anything. I've had questions about anything at all, you know, directions, health information, government information, how to get in touch with people, long lost friends, whatever you can think of. So that's a vital resource. But again, I like to reiterate the discussion about what libraries are today. Because of the rapid change in technology and who it's available and who it isn't available to, does speak to very much so income inequality. That's a big issue. Right. That is, in my opinion, the issue. That kind of wraps up everything, those that have and those that have not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a good point, and especially as we're talking about what kind of society do we want to live in? What does public good actually mean? How are we spending our resources? Michael, what would you add? So many people who do not have homes go to the library just to have a rest, to have access to a clean bathroom.
Absolutely. We pride ourselves on being the most democratic of institutions. All are welcome, you know, from cradle to grave, you know, every socioeconomic status, every ethnicity. I just want to riff off of what Eve was saying. And one of the initiatives that I'm really proud that the San Francisco Public Library can contribute to this summer is Mayor Breed's Summer Together initiative. And we've come together with a social welfare organization, Together SF, and our city and county family, the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, the Recreation and Parks Department, the Mayor's Office. And we're offering lots of different summer programs, enrichment, but the singular contribution of the San Francisco Public Library is distributing 500,000 books this summer, $3 million worth of books that we're distributing to all of the San Francisco Unified School District students. So every student, over 50,000 youth in San Francisco, they get 10 free brand new books that they get to keep. This is going to seed their own personal libraries at home, you know, K through 12 students. They get these beautiful titles, and I've been watching our libraries reopen over the past few weeks and seeing these young people line up in droves, and they are so delighted to get their books. I was at Richmond Branch this week, and it was just so wonderful to see the youth and families there to get their book bundles.
How can people get more information about this?
Well, they can visit any of their neighborhood libraries that are currently open. We have 22 of our 28 libraries open, but these books are also being distributed at the Recreation and Parks Department summer camps. Also at the San Francisco Unified School District summer school sites. So we are working with community-based organizations, nonprofits, certainly the Friends of the Library. They're helping us get these books out in the community. So it's really exciting.
Well, we will also put a link to the special program, Summer Stride 2021, because you have a number of recommended summer reading lists for all ages, and then you've got incredible free programs for all ages, including Voices of Celebrated Diverse Authors and Illustrators. I love this one. Engage with music, movement, and art activities to create meaningful change. And then you've got STEM, use common household items to have fun, do experiments, and test scientific methods. And then there's also a virtual adult series. What was really great yesterday, I was looking at your website, and you even have a list of books that are coming out. And this is great because it gave me a couple ideas to have authors on our show. You have such an amazing list here, and then there's recommended summer reading. So we will link to this at yourcallradio.org. We've got a number of callers on the line, so let's go to Curtis in San Francisco. Hi, Curtis. Thanks for holding.
Hi, no worries. Thanks for having me. Really interesting topic. Huge fan of libraries. I do apologize if this was covered, but my question is, will the libraries ever return to full capacity in the sense where people can like sit down, use their computer, access the internet, sit down, read a book? I ask that because I see a lot of this browse and bounce and limits to what it means to be open. And I just say that because, you know, kind of to me, it doesn't make sense because you can go at least in SF to a restaurant, sit down, unmask. And I think one of the public goods that a library offers outside of everything that's been mentioned is just the ability to seek shelter, not pay money, you know, especially during the elements when it's fire season, a lot of people went to libraries to get filtered air when it's heat. So my question is, will it ever go back to normal where people can just sit inside, or is that, you know, the past? And what's the reasoning to not be fully reopened in that capacity? And I'll take my comment.
Thank you, Curtis. And your comment about the fires, this is so important because so many of us stayed inside, but not everyone had a place to go inside, but they could go to their library, but not last year because they were closed. Eve, are the Oakland libraries at full capacity? Can people go in and watch a movie or read magazines?
Yes, exactly. Yes,
great.
We are open regular hours, pre-COVID hours, and that's from 10 to 5:30, and then during the day, most days, and then there's two nights a week we're open until 8, and that's Tuesday and Wednesday for branches, and I think it's Wednesday and Thursday for the main library downtown, I believe. At any rate, except I think the Eastmont branch is in a mall, so they're not open over the weekend. But the rest of us are open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
Great.
And the main library is open Sunday. And yes, it is open for people to sit down and read the paper. Many were clamoring just for that, and or sit down and, you know, talk. You can use a computer there. People are starting to do that now, your own computer. And there's computer access for people that don't have any access, computer access at home or wherever, to come. So we are open, and we're waiting. We want you to come. Oh, yeah. And
we've
got good stuff for the summer, too.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Curtis. What about the libraries in San Francisco that are open right now, Michael?
Well, I just want to thank Curtis. This is an excellent question, and it has been a more complicated operating picture here in San Francisco. We've been reconciling the various public health guidance from the CDC, the California Department of Public Health, Cal OSHA, and even our local public health orders. So until last week with the most recent public health order, update, you know, we were limited to 50% building occupancy. So we were, you know, designing this browse and bounce service model initially so that people could come inside the library, retrieve their holds, browse the collection, you know, use computers in a socially distant manner. And now we're really scrambling and playing catch up because really the world changed last week, and now we are able to fully reopen. So the four browse and bounce locations that open this week, we should be able to restore seating as early as next week. The main library already has seating at some of our readers' tables and computers available, but we're going to fully reopen the main library and get our furniture put back together and restore seating at Chinatown and Mission Bay as well. We still have a number of locations that are offering our front door pickup service, SFPL to go, but now we can accelerate our transition from those locations back to in-person services. We have up to 9 neighborhood branches that are going to open for in-person services by the end of July. And certainly by the time school starts, as I mentioned, we will have all of our libraries open again for in-person services. Our biggest constraint has been staffing. We're getting our disaster service workers back. We still have 140 position vacancies that accumulated over the past year that we were unable to fill. It does take us some time to fill civil service positions, but absolutely, yes, the San Francisco Public Library is coming back, and we're going to fully restore all the hours of operation, all the nights and weekends, but it is going to take us a little bit of time, and I just appreciate everybody's patience and understanding.
All right. Well, thank you for the question. And Marie, a question about the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. What about the bookstore that you had at Fort Mason? That was shut down last year. Are you planning to reopen that?
No, we're not. I am sorry to say to the public that no, we're not. The status with our status of our book program, and I'm always so amazed when people ask about our book program, and it just demonstrates what a literate city we have. Right now, we are no longer a tenant at the Fort Mason site. Or within the next month, we are planning to reopen our bookstore at the main store. It's on the bottom floor of the main store, and then followed by our step sales, which are the dollar sales that take place on the steps of the library facing City Hall. We ended the lease at Fort Mason for a variety of reasons. COVID did accelerate that, although we had been thinking about this earlier. I hate to make this announcement, but I'm going to have to. There will not be a big book sale this fall either. We didn't have one last year, and we are unable to. There just isn't enough time for planning, for supply, and certainly an event that relies on massive turnout. There are some issues also with the facility at Fort Mason. We are exploring a future big book sale again, but I can't give any specifics. I don't have a determination now. And, you know, when we understand the really huge community love and value of that store at Fort Mason, we are also exploring other options to reopen a second community store. But right now, you know, we have the one at the main. We continue to take book donations. So if anyone, we serve that. It's a very big service we provide to the city, but we are taking book donations by appointment now at our website at friendssfpl.org. Just look under the book donation tab, and we still are having donations by appointment. But no, we will not see a reopening of the Fort Mason store.
Okay, well, I'm sure a lot of people are sad to hear that. It was a great store.
We are equally sad. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved going to that store. So if you do want to donate to the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library, it is by appointment only, and you can find information at yourcallradio.org. Marie Cipella is Executive Director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. Michael Lambert is City Librarian for the City and County of San Francisco. Eve Buckner is a librarian at the Oakland Public Library. Let's go to our next caller, Marty in San Francisco. Hi, Marty. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi. I just, I have to tell you, I'm totally confused. All I really want to know is why I usually go to the library on 9th Avenue, right off of Geary in San Francisco. And I just want to know when I can just go back in there and hang out and browse.
All right. Thank you, Michael. When can Marty go back to the 9th Avenue Library?
Hey, Marty. Thank you for your patronage of the Richmond Branch Library. You can certainly go in there and browse the collection today, use the computers, get assistance from the staff. Next week, we will have seating restored, so you will be able to go in and have more of a normal library experience where you can hang out and, you know, enjoy the space. It is a beautiful, historic Carnegie Library, and I understand our public relies on these spaces for inspiration, places to go for quiet contemplation. So you will be able to go back next week.
All right. Well, thank you. You'll be able to go back next week. Thank you for that call. Let's go next to Ira in San Francisco. Hi, Ira. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I want to mention a different library, which is the openlibrary.org, which is, I think, operated by the Internet Archive, which was open during all of COVID. And in fact, they started this program called the National Emergency Library, where they would lend out books electronically to people who are privileged enough to have Internet connections all over the world. And then they got sued by the publishers for lending out too many books. And I'm wondering what you librarians think about that sort of thing.
Eve, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I am. Because these publishers, here's another thing about online versus, in hand, hard copies versus digital copies of things. Publishers own and only rent out to public libraries their collection of whatever it is. So those publishers, that's a for-profit. Those are for-profit institutions. They're not free. They're not here for public service. They're here to make money. So that in and of itself is a problem. And I will tell you that, and because we as public libraries do not really have control over our collection anymore. And I worry about that because as selectors of materials, and these include all kinds of materials, not only books, but, movies, for example, and these and also CDs and other things that people still use. I worry also that, again, with the discussion about what the library is, the reliance on e-materials is all over the place. It depends on what a library is. Is a library an archive of books? Yeah, it's supposed to be, but is that what we're doing now? So that publishing thing is very concerning, at least to me as a public librarian. And I've been working for a long time, 25 years. Things have changed quite a bit.
Wow. Well, this sounds like we might want to do a show about this.
Yeah.
Because we're almost out of time, and I just want to make sure that we get a few more callers in. But thank you for that information. We did find a piece on The Verge called Publisher Sue, Internet Archive over Open Library Ebook Lending. And we'll look into that and possibly do a show. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ilsa in San Francisco. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Let me turn my radio down. Oh, I was enjoying the stereo. But anyway, yes, I only called to say to the libraries, thank you so much. You have helped me over the last 7 years. I fractured my hip. I could not go to the library anymore. And I didn't know what to do. And then I called the library to find out how I could get books, because books really save my life. I can sit and read all day long and not be worried about my stupid hip. Mm. But anyway, yes, so thank you very much. And then this morning, Jane called me because I had an issue with the post people not picking up the books. And so I called and left a message or something, and she called. And she was able to give me a reference for getting my eyes looked at, which I haven't been able to do for the last year, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The library is a lifesaver. The library is wonderful, and I so appreciate all the work that all the librarians do.
Well, thank you so much, Ilsa. So nice to hear from you, and I hope your hip improves. And it's great to hear that you got help. I think the other thing, Michael, when Eve emailed us and said, let your listeners know if they have a basic question about directions or, as Ilsa said, where to get eyes checked, I don't think people also realize that librarians are there they're incredible researchers, and they can answer a lot of questions.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad she called in, and I'm so glad that our Books by Mail program is serving her well and providing access. And yes, librarians, we're trained to help people acquire information. We organize information, classify information, disseminate information. That's really what we do. And we are trained information professionals. We are here to help people. People can really start with us whenever they have a question, whenever they have an idea that they want to pursue further. That is what the public library is here for.
Well, let's take one more quick call. Peter in San Francisco. Hi, Peter. We're almost out of time.
Hi, it's Peter Warfield, head of Library Users Association. And I wanted to say that I have we certainly love libraries and books, but there's a lot that certainly San Francisco is not doing. Curtis is right. Full service is far, far away. And the library is providing, for example, not equal service to everybody. Those who don't have computers and access to the Internet are completely excluded from the virtual programs, even though those virtual programs can be accessed by telephone, except the library refuses to let people know about it and how to do it.
Well, let me get a quick comment from Michael because we're almost out of time.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, we appreciate Mr. Warfield's input, and we have provided phone call-in access now to many of our programs. We are always striving for continuous improvement, and we are always looking for ways to make our programming more accessible.
And speaking of accessibility, I also understand that San Francisco Public Libraries have now opened deaf services by appointment.
That's correct. We are committed to accessibility. We have a Talking Books and Braille Center. I'm very excited that we're going to be renovating that space and improving the technology there. We do have a Deaf Services Center. We have assistive technology for individuals that need specialized access to the internet or public access computer equipment.
Well, thank you for that call, and we are out of time. I just want to thank all of you for joining us and for the important services that you provide. Michael Lambert is City Librarian for the City and County of San Francisco. Marie Sapella is Executive Director of the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library, and Eve Buckner is a librarian at the Oakland Public Library. Thank you all for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for your emails and your phone calls. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show. Thanks to Joanne Marr for engineering our show. And I hope you can join us tomorrow. We're going to mark Juneteenth by speaking with filmmaker Andre Robert Lee about The Road to Justice, a new documentary that follows a group of Black middle school students from Chicago and a group of elders who lived through the civil rights era as they embark on a tour through the South. The film asks, how can we heal as a nation without honestly confronting our history? That is tomorrow. Find more information about the show and share it with your friends at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.